when you think about habits, you got to remember that your thoughts are important because your thoughts lead to an action. Your actions lead to your habits. Habits lead to part of your character, and your character determines your destiny. So you got to be careful with what you think of because it can determine your destiny.
Welcome to Champion Read, sponsored by Champion Circle for a better type of networking. We are sponsored by Champion Circle, helping people to achieve their goals, accelerate their life. Executive producers, Mr. John Kovacs Jr., Mr. William Blake, and I am leading the discussion today, Ian Sturmer. We are discussing the book Atomic Habits by James Clear. Tiny Changes for Remarkable Results. This is our second conversation on this, so if you haven't heard our first one, tune into it. Jumping right into Atomic Habits, there's four rules that James Clear gives for Atomic Habits. Make it obvious, make it attractive, make it easy, and make it satisfying. So let's start out with make it obvious. If you're going to make a change in your life, if you don't notice the change, it's probably not going to do a whole lot for you. It's got to be something that's obvious enough to see. I know that's a really simple concept to say, and I'd feel bad to say it's an obvious thing to say that we need to make it obvious. But if we're going to create habits in our life, they have to be something enough for us to notice. If we're going to change from getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning and instead get up at 6:58 in the morning, it's probably not going to make a big impact in our life. It's a nice small one, but it's not obvious enough to change things. Like William said at the beginning of this, it's a step how our thoughts lead to our actions, our habits. It's got to be enough of a movement to get us motivated, to see that change, to help us along the way. So I'm going to turn it over to William and see how that, how does that affect you? How do you make things obvious?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny. I had a conversation with my cousin yesterday. Took him out to lunch. I hadn't talked in a while, and we started talking about losing weight. That's been a goal of mine. And as we were talking, one of the things he brought up, and is something that I always remember after the fact, after I like do the thing that I want to do, is take progress pictures. And it seems obvious. You start with if you're cleaning a bedroom, I'm looking at this bedroom right now that's not so clean. Take a picture of it first. Clean it up, do everything you want to, and then take a picture after and do the compare and contrast. And there's such a feeling that comes from that, such a satisfying feeling. And whenever I thought of my weight loss, yeah, I took pictures beforehand. But what he said is every month, just take a progress pic. And you might go from month one to month two, look back and forth and be like, oh, yeah, there's not much change. But then you go from month one to month four and you think, oh, yeah, I could see a little bit slimmer here, a little bit more muscle there. And so when I'm talking about obvious, the first thing that popped in my head was make it obvious for you, even if it might be like out a couple months. Take the initial picture of this is where I started. This is where the hard work is. And then look at the progress going forward. What motivation from it, right?
I love that. And yeah, just keeping track of what you're doing, measuring it is what's going to help you to see those changes. You know, as you mentioned, the weight loss, I shouldn't bring up my wife, but I will anyways. Like many women, she's always saying she needs to lose weight. And, you know, she keeps a pair of jeans and she keeps saying, oh, I haven't lost weight, because one day to the next, she doesn't notice things. But then she puts that pair of jeans on and says, oh, wait, it fits now and it didn't used to, or now it's a little bit looser. So having something to measure it by, something to help you to see those changes going forward, I think is, like I said, is crucial. I know your goal you've had of reading books, reading 100 books a year. There's a number there to measure it by. And I've seen some of your posts say, this is book number 50. This is book number 58 that you've read for the year. Keeps it obvious. You can see that goal. You can see the progress you're making. You can see where you've come from. So yeah, first step.
Yeah, making it obvious. And if I can snatch it before I jump to the next one. Making it obvious in a way that when you make your goals, a lot of times we tend to focus on the wording of it, focus on the results that we can't control. And because we focus on that and we don't get it, a lot of time we're just devastated from it. So with that example of me reading 60 plus to 100 books a year, making it tangible to the point to where it's a yes or no question of if I made it to 100 books by the end of the year, right? As I'm posting on social media, this is book number 68, this is book number 84, whatever it is. It's easy for me to track. And I also have a postcard on my computer that I track as well. It's a yes or no. However, the second side of that is that it's 100% under my control. I have the whole year to reach that 100 books. Some people might set the goal of, I'm going to reach $1 million in a year. Well, you might not have that much control over it, and it might take longer for a business or adventure to get up there. But why not, instead of thinking of like $1 million a year, for yourself, think of, who do I need to become to be that person who makes $1 million a year? Because then you're taking that, I can't control the outcome side, it depends on everyone else, to, even if I don't reach that million, I'm still hitting those points of being that person who can make $1 million. Does that make sense?
It does, but I'm gonna disagree on something there.
Okay, let's do it.
Nothing personal. Yeah. You know, if you set your goal to be richer or be nicer or read more and say, okay, I'm going to be the person who's nicer, I'm going to be the person who earns more money, I'm going to be the person who reads more. How do you know when you've done that if you're not measuring it? If you set your goal to read 100 books, and even if you don't reach that goal, you can see how much you've improved. Say, you know, I read 70 books, not 100, but I achieved that. My goal is to get $1 million, earn $1 million this year. I earned $200,000. You can see the changes there because you set a measurable goal. And you can look at those measurements, though, that obvious side of it, and say, I did improve this much. Where if you just say, I'm going to do better at money, it's not measurable. It's not an obvious outcome. You don't always know, did you really do that? I was thinking as you were talking, okay, I'm going to set a goal to be a nicer person. How do I know if I've achieved that? How do I know if I'm nicer this year than I was last year? If I set a goal to, you know, reach out and give a compliment to one person every day, and I mark that down in my phone that, yes, I did that today. Now it's something measurable that I can see. Oh, you know, last year I said a compliment to somebody 200 days of the year. This year I did it 300. I've improved. I've gotten better. So I think sometimes the measurable goal lets you measure how much you've changed as a person. Where if you look at changing as a person, you don't always know if you've achieved that or not. It becomes too subjective.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
my thought.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounded like how I meant to say it, that it needs to be measurable, right? If you just want to be a nicer guy, there are so many different ways you can do that. But at the end of the day, how do you know? At the end of the month, at the end of the year, how do you know that you're a nicer person? Wrapping it back into the habits, the habit that you want, how do you know if you're going to do it? If you want to be a healthier individual in a year's time, what's that going to look like? Are you going to have more energy? Are you going to be drinking a lot more? Are you going to be weighing less? Are you going to have a certain amount of muscle mass? So I agree with you that the goal needs to be measurable. Going along with that, we need to focus more on the progress than the result. Because, yeah. Well, yeah, the result's nice. It gets that fire going under us. But at the end, we want that result. But if we hit it or we don't, we should be grateful, and we should still have that fire in us about the progress that we're making. I feel a little back and forth on that, so I'll turn it back over to you as I gather my thoughts.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think John has a comment there.
Yeah.
I love this conversation, and I love the struggle to put into words, because it reminds me of an example or a story that I heard once, and it has to do with climbing a mountain. And this guy set a goal. He's like, I want to climb to the top of this mountain. And he did all this preparation work. He got in shape. He did what he could so that he could climb the mountain. And as he was climbing the mountain, he ran into so many obstacles that he didn't plan ahead for, like boulders and cliffs and animals and sightings. And as he took breaks and how difficult it was to scale the side of this mountain, you know, he was able to turn around and look out at the land and just see, every time he looked back, he could see a different view of the world. And all of this incrementally led up to him making it to the top of the mountain. He summited the mountain. And when he got up there, it was a little cloudy. It was not the brightest and clearest day to be up there. But he looked around, you know, took some photos. And he was not only up there for like less than 20 minutes. He took a deep breath. He says, okay, time to go back down. And a few days later, after this whole experience, people asked him, hey, did you climb the mountain? And he said, yeah. Well, how was it? Was it good? Did you like it? Did you love it? What was it? He's like, well, it was awesome. And he proceeded to only share information about the journey. He did not share any information about what it looked like from up top. He talked about all the challenges, and the things he had to scale, and the animal encounter he had, and all of these incredible experiences. And what I think we're thrown in here is the results are important. Getting to the destination is great. And if we prepare enough in advance, it's not as exciting or groundbreaking as we thought, because the belief in ourselves that we can do something means that we already know we can do it. But the journey, the start to finish, that's worth telling. That's the story. And that's honestly what people, you know, are really interested in listening to, because if it isn't in the journey, then really it's a short story. Hey, yeah, I climbed the mountain. It was awesome. Okay, good story. We'll talk to you later. All right, guys, bye. You know?
Yeah, I love that. And as you're talking, just made me think that old saying we've all heard, life is a journey. Because the destination is dying. That's the end of our life, is death. And there's not really much to talk about there. It's the journey on the way that makes the difference. And I think with these habits, it's the same thing. As we build these habits, as we look at what we did, measure those things, and take joy in those habits, instead of, you know, some grand goal at the end, because it's almost always going to be a letdown to reach that goal at the end. But the journey and the steps we take to get there are what makes it exciting and what builds us up to be who we want to be. And I think that kind of leads into the next point. Second principle is make it attractive. If it's not something that you want to do, well, why are you doing it if it's not something you want? You have to build habits that you want, that are desirable. There's an old saying that willpower is important, but want power is what's really powerful. Because you're going to work for things you want. So if you want to climb a mountain, you're going to work for those steps. And you're going to get excited that you get on the Stairmaster and you can go 5 minutes longer than you did before. And you're going to be excited about those incremental changes. You're going to be excited to get up and exercise because you've got that goal in mind. You've got that vision, and it's attractive to you. And kind of that mindset of taking the hard things that we're trying to build a habit for and keeping in mind the benefits, the outcome, the joy that we're going to find as we build those habits, as they become habits instead of just desires. That's what makes it attractive. So I'm going to point back to Willie again. How do you make your habits you're working on, how do you make those attractive?
That's a good question. How do I make the habit attractive? It comes down to exactly what you said. It's what you want. Like whatever it is you want, then some part of that is attractive for you. So whether it could be the whole thing or a part of the thing, some point of it is attractive. So you might as well dip your foot in. You might as well just go at it and start trying it to either find out that the whole thing is awesome and attractive, or it's just like a singular part where you're like, okay, I'll just focus on that. An example, reading books. I love information. I love learning new perspectives and new stories, and I love hearing the challenges. That's why, John, that story about climbing the mountain but talking about the journey resonated so much. Because if you just talk about the top, it's like, awesome, good for you, that's great. That's like talking to a rich person and saying like, yeah, I got this and this and this. And we're like, okay, that's pretty cool. But that's not like a hero's journey. But the hero's journey, we talk like the 20, 30 years beforehand of all the grind and hustle and challenges and obstacles that they had to face. All that hardship builds up to the person they are. So instead of a rich individual or a wise individual, like, wow, they had to go through so much. And so jumping back to that attractive part is, when I'm reading books, I love the new perspective of things. And finding new perspective isn't just in books. And so now I've dialed back on the books to put it more into action. And that perspective side and that storytelling side that I love to hear, I'm starting to talk to other individuals. I'm starting to watch videos and listen to podcasts, right? So one thing that I started with was simply reading a book, then led to that attractive side of storytelling and perspective, which then I could illuminate and focus on that more and project it in so many different ways to where now I can, now I'm just super excited every time it happens. Dialing back to your point, Ian, that if you want something, that's attractive, right? So you should start going after it.
Yeah. Sorry, John, go ahead.
You know, I make my habits attractive by tying a Twinkie at the end of a string and dangling it in front of me as I reach for that app, for that habit and that goal. So, you know, Twinkies and Snickers bars definitely make it attractive for me.
I like that. I was just kind of reminded as you guys were talking, the interview I read with Lance Armstrong a few years ago when he retired from cycling. And the interviewer asked him what he was going to miss most now that he'd retired from this. And he said the practice. It wasn't finishing. It wasn't the trophies. It wasn't the paychecks or the crowd cheering him on. It was the practice. Because he'd built that habit of practicing, riding every day, and building that strength. And to him, everything else came out of those practices. So, you know, these little steps we're taking, you know, one of my goals to get is to get in better shape. So I'm trying to build a habit of doing push-ups every day. So when I do those push-ups, it's not that the push-up is fun, but it's that, oh, I'm going to have more energy. I'm going to be stronger overall. I'm going to be a healthier person. And those goals make the action more attractive, and hopefully make it more fun to do. And along with fun, that's our third principle, is make it easy. You know, the habit is not to climb a mountain. The habit is to exercise. The habit is to do a certain number of, you know, push-ups or sit-ups or run a certain distance. Those are the habits. If you start saying, "Yo, I'm going to do a habit of reading 3 hours a day," well, if you're never reading, that's not an easy habit to start. You might want to start by saying, "Okay, when I get up in the morning, I'm going to read before I go brush my teeth," or something like that, and start an easy habit. Because I don't know. Either of you ever got burned out? You said, "I'm going to start doing something," and you bite off a little more than you can chew, and the New Year's resolution lasts until about 9:15 on January 1st, and then you give up on it?
Many times. Many times.
Yeah. Sometimes till 9:16 in the morning, but
sometimes if 9:17?
It's not. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I said sometimes to 9:17.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you're doing good there. You know, make an easy habit. And again, to kind of differentiate, as we're talking about this, I find myself starting to talk about goals instead of habits. And it's easy to let your mind reach to that goal idea of climbing the mountain instead of really what James Clear is talking about here is setting up small little habits that will get you where you want to go. And I have to keep catching myself again because I'm saying, "Oh, this is my goal. This is my goal." That's not what he's talking about. It's creating a small habit that's obvious, attractive, easy, and satisfying. And that's what's going to lead us to the goals in the end. We got to keep that end result in mind, but building those small steps, you know, doing push-ups in the morning, doing our daily affirmations. I'm going to pick on John for a second because he had a great one that he shared before, that he has a card with his daily affirmations written on it on the mirror in his bathrooms. So when he gets up and brushes his teeth, he sees that and reads it every day. So he's built that habit. It's small, it's obvious, it's right there, it's easy to do. I'll say it's attractive because John can see his face at the same time. So it makes it an attractive goal.
Ain't that the truth?
Those of you who are watching, he's off camera now. So you have to catch us on a different podcast to see what I'm talking about.
It's funny that you mentioned that, Ian. Because one of the things that I'm working on is brushing my teeth more. Gotten a nasty habit of forgetting to brush my teeth before going to bed. And so one of the things he talks about is habit stacking. And so every morning, every night before I go to bed and when I wake up, got to use the bathroom. So how did I apply toothbrushing? I have my toothbrush right in the bathroom. So I grab my toothbrush, put it in my mouth, then use the bathroom. And then after I'm done, my toothbrush is already in my mouth, so I might as well brush my teeth. So then I brush my teeth. The attractive side is my teeth are able to be white and be clean. And the satisfying part of that is I got a minty fresh breath. and I got that nice little the toothpaste feeling fuzzies in my mouth. And so it goes back to how to make it easy. Just add it to what you're already doing. Sticking a toothbrush in my mouth doesn't seem like it's going to make a difference. But I can tell you what, every time that I do it, I brush my teeth. So, just like
that. You hit the key point there. It's so easy. It doesn't seem like it's going to make a difference. And I think that's the central point of Atomic Habits, is these are little small things that may not seem like they're going to make any difference. But they do. You got the minty, sparkly breath, and it's satisfying, the last point, because your wife might give you a kiss afterwards, and if you don't brush your teeth, she's probably not going to give you that kiss. And there's a lot less satisfying then.
For her, yeah.
So, yeah. Much less satisfying for her if she kisses you without brushing your teeth first. That fits in the attractive and the obvious ones, too. But, yeah, make your habits easy. And then the last point was to make it satisfying. And you brought that out, that once you brush your teeth, there is a satisfaction in it. It might be easy to forget some things or not notice. If you're not doing a habit one day, it's easy to miss one day, but when you do it, there's a satisfaction. Say, hey, I accomplished this one little step. I forget the name of the famous guy, the make your bed guy. You probably heard of him, or at least read that. When you get up in the morning, make your bed. Because if nothing else happens throughout the day, you've at least done something. You started out by accomplishing something. So, yeah. And there is just a satisfaction. And I'll kind of close my comment with that one, that the more we start these little habits and we see ourselves doing, we set up so it's measurable so we know we're doing them, there's just an inward satisfaction that, hey, I've done this. I've accomplished this. Look for those little small victories in life, because that's what makes life enjoyable and fun, is those little steps. So I'll pass it back to you guys for your final words of wisdom and clarity and inspiration for us.
Yeah. I'll jump in for my final thing. Is, Ian, you said on the last episode that when you thought of atomic, you thought of like a nuclear explosion going off. And I'm going to be honest, when I started reading this, I also thought about that. I didn't connect it until I started reading it. And I'm like, that's not it. We're not talking about a boom. We're talking like small atom type size, atomic habits. So it's making it so easy that you just are just able to do it, right? There's that phrase that everyone has 15 minutes to do something. Everyone has 5 minutes to do something. Well, set a habit to do something for 5 seconds. If you want to be a writer, just set a habit of writing one sentence a day. You'll sit down, write one sentence. And I'll tell you what, every time that I sit down, because I love writing as well, every time I sit down to write one sentence, it always ends up being a page, always ends up being a chapter. Whenever I'm in a room and I see, as I look at my room again, every time I'm in a room and it's full of clutter, it's just 30 seconds of picking things up quick. So I'll do my quick 30 seconds, and then afterwards, I'm already up cleaning, so might as well continue to go on. And that's the cool thing about it, is that when we set those small little atomic habits, some things that are easy to do, like super, super easy, something that we don't think will affect our life, but always does, is we'll always be wanting to do some more afterwards. The thing is just getting initially into that mode to do it. So whether it's writing one sentence, whether it's doing 30 seconds or 5 seconds of doing something, or putting a toothbrush in your mouth, just those small atomic habits are the ones where it's going to change your destiny, change your character.
Love that. Thank you. And on those words, let's close. So I want to thank our listeners for listening. If you would like to contribute, to add your comments, tell us that we are off our rocker and we totally missed the point. Love any of those comments. You can email us at info@mychampioncircle.com or go to mychampioncircle.com to find out more about our in-person and virtual meetings and what Champion Circle is all about. Likewise, if you would like to join us and feel you have something to contribute, we would love to talk to you and see about bringing some extra guests online with us. Again, that's info@mychampioncircle.com. And with that, we will sign off and see you again next week as we continue our discussion of James Clear's amazing book, Atomic Habits. Thank you and have a great day.